Guardians of the Geekery, and what happens when your guest cancels the day before? What do you do? Of course, what we do is turn on, much like the bat signal, the Hartness signal. And John Hartness, writer, publisher of Falstaff Books, comes to the rescue, and we talk all kind of things about conventions, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, what we observe as far as from a marketing standpoint, people doing good, people not doing not so great, people doing really poopy, and all kind of fun stuff, including the Geek Gala. It's coming up soon. Buy your tickets before it's too late. They're selling fast, kids. 10th anniversary. Listen to the podcast episode. Enjoy. Tell us what you think. Subscribe. Support us on Patreon. All kind of fun stuff. All right. Talk to you soon.
Podcast room of the Geek Gala HQ. There are assembled Charlotte, North Carolina's four okayest geeks, created by the cosmic legends of their own mind. Starnslord, the Giddy Geeker, Carol the Cat, Tipples Tannenbaum. Their mission, to support local, to discuss all things geek, and to serve all fankind. They are the Guardians of the Geekery, the official podcast of the Charlotte Geeks.
Ah!
Oh, okay.
John Hartness is here. Run.
Run!
Oh, don't touch me there, Matt. Oh, wait, no, dude, touch
I can't
me there.
Help it. You've got your hair repurposed.
You promised me no more.
Okay.
Okay. So we have John Hartness here. Hooray!
Oh, shit, that guy owes me money.
Yeah. And
who is John? I don't think we've ever known him.
Well, you know what would be a great way to find out is to go back and watch the unboxing video. You could actually see what he looks like.
He's gorgeous, I hear.
Well.
Why, Matt, thank you.
You're welcome, twin brother.
He's the second most gorgeous purple-haired person I've ever seen.
Aww, you were looking at yourself.
This is the most narcissistic opening to a podcast we've had in a while.
It's hard when somebody out egos me, but you know, when it happens, I'll just concede. Fine,
what
you
can
got
you
me.
Do? What can you do?
I'm sitting like on the same side of the table as you, so one, you can reach me, and two, it's getting really crowded over here with me, your ego, and you.
Oh, so how's your week been so far?
It's all right. We were recording Authors and Dragons last night, which is the other podcast. I'm actually on that one even more often.
Well, yeah, because you're paid to be on that one, or unpaid to be on
that
one.
Yeah, I'm part of the regular cast of that. It's a live play Dungeons and Dragons podcast where we play D&D really, really badly and swear a lot.
And drink?
I won't. Will neither confirm nor deny.
I will confirm that you drink.
Yeah, we're usually shit hammered.
Every time you guys are together, you're drinking, so I'm assuming yes.
You're not wrong. We almost got thrown out of the Con Carolinas Hotel this year.
Yeah, you and about, well, anyway, moving on.
No, I did get thrown out. It was way before Con.
We were on the party floor, and we didn't think we were going to have a room party, but then we started doing a power hour where you drink a shot of beer every minute for an hour.
Wow.
Ouch.
And by shot 55, we were a little loud. And then security comes knocking on the door. We're like, dude, we'll be done in 5 minutes. I'm like, I don't think you understand how this works. Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, we almost got kicked out of RavenCon.
Yeah, but we weren't on the party floor.
Well, also, I feel... Yeah, there's a story.
There's
there.
A story there.
So, I feel I made an enemy and somebody was out to get me.
Uh-oh.
But that's okay.
Well, apparently Carol didn't because she's been invited back to RavenCon 13.5.
Yeah.
But that is a different hotel. So.
It's a different hotel.
Oh, and it's a different town. They don't. Our reputation hasn't gone that far.
So you're just banned from Williamsburg.
Yeah, I think it's still Williamsburg.
No, it's Richmond.
It's Richmond. Oh, cool.
It's closer.
Oh, thank God. Oh. Yeah. I was like, another 7 hour drive.
I love that con, but it's far.
It is very far.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll be happy to
That con's a good one for the podcast. It's a bad one for Geek Gala. So.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good one for me as a writer, depending on who the guest of honor is, because a lot of times at conventions like that, which are what I call fandom cons, like Congregate, Con Carolinas, RavenCon, a lot of the casual attendees really do lock into the guest of honor. This year it was Chuck Wendig, and Chuck and I write similar stuff, and I was on panels with him, and we're buddies, so that was really good. I felt like I could pick up some fans. But if they have a more science fiction-oriented guest of honor, then it's probably not going to be someplace where I can pick up a lot of new fans. So,
unless it's like bored, you know, significant others looking for options. So.
Right. And which typically significant others are not looking for the particular brand of dick joke that I write.
You never know.
You're a special kind of dick joke writer.
I saw that someone is reading Zombies Ate My Homework in your living room.
Yeah, that would be me. So
I'll apologize now.
It's okay. I was actually pitching your book. It was interesting to watch people's reactions. I was like, okay, this will either get them to move down to your table or it's going to get them running in the opposite direction. But either way, it'll get them away from my table, which
you
was
know
the
exactly
point.
What you're getting into when an author looks up at you and says, have you ever wondered how to kill a zombie with a butt plug?
Yep. It just kind of solves a lot of problems. But this actually brings us into the topic that Starnslord wanted to bring up for the day.
Yeah, so. And it ties into a new book that you're working on.
Yeah. The book is going to be called The Long Con, How to Survive at Conventions for Creatives. And it's going to be a nonfiction book, which is interesting for me. And it's going to be culled from series of blog posts that I've written and the years that I've done the convention circuit on how to do conventions and evaluate which conventions to attend, what's going to work best for you and the type of artist that you are, because not all cons are created equal. Not all cons are for everyone. I'm doing a lot of conventions this year. I think the number's around 35 appearances from and this is everything from the little half-day brewery micro cons that we were in up to Dragon Con, which is where we'll be just next week. So
or this week.
Or this week, depending on
this when week. This is
when you listen to when we post
to this in the future. Or maybe if you're slack and haven't kept up with the podcast, maybe we were there last week.
It's in the past.
Oh my gosh.
Time traveler.
My mind is
time
blowing
is fleeting.
But I think a lot of these conventions are like little I was really thinking about it cuz at Charlotte Comic Con and I wasn't just thinking about Charlotte Comic Con but all the conventions. You know, as you do Pound the Pavement and you're kind of the street team for what you sell or what you're promoting, it's like, it really is like kind of a microcosm of small businesses, which I deal a lot with in my day job, civilian job. But, cause you've got people who just show up and I'm sure this will all be in your book and, and I know in some of your blog posts too. And then, you know, no promotion. It's just, I'm going to show up. And my books, my comics, everything should just sell, right?
Right.
That, and it's funny. It's just,
and that's a load of crap.
Right.
It doesn't, because people need to know that you're going to be there. And especially as an independent creator, you want to make yourself look like as big a deal as possible. So, you know, you hype up the fact that you're going to be here. And it's going to be a big deal that you're here. So they should come find you and come find you early so that you don't sell out of whatever thing that they want. And no matter how many copies of that book you have or that comic you have, you know, you always want to create as much excitement as possible. Yeah. And the pre-work for doing a con is important.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I've seen, which is unfortunate, is people who artists or creatives who will post and say, if you're depending upon me to bring a crowd, then you're not doing your job to an event host or creator or promoter. And it's really symbiotic because if you want them to continue to allow you access and space, some of them may even give you a table as an artist. There's a quid pro quo that goes with it. It's, you know, yes, it's the responsibility of the person creating the event to create as much buzz about the event as they can. But, you know, it doesn't hurt for you to promote it too, because it's you that's trying to sell something, or whatever the purpose of you being there is. It's got to be both sides.
It's the old shampoo commercial. You tell two friends and they tell two friends and so on and so on and so on. And as long as more people are telling more people about the event, that's what you want.
Right. Yeah. I mean, look at the Geek Gala, which is coming up in November, and people should buy their tickets now. And I'll be there as Falstaff Books, as the official bookseller of the Geek Gala, and we're going to promote our appearance there. But you've got how many vendors at the Muggles Market during the day?
We have 54.
So if I make 55, then if each of us gets five people in, it's not so much about the five fans of Falstaff Books that are coming to buy books from me.
Right.
It's more about the 300 five fans from each other vendor that then come in, and then my fans go to them. And it's that kind of just symbiotic relationship between vendors and between creatives. Because, yes, you're doing your promotion to make the Geek Gala as badass as possible and get as many people in. But it is incumbent upon me to get people to come as well, because everything builds on everything else. I mean, Starnslord, how many times does somebody need to hear something before it gets sticky? What is it, 9, 5, 27?
As many as possible. I mean, think about something as like a staple like Coca-Cola. You think, why are they still advertising? Everybody knows about Coca-Cola, but it really is the reason they still do billboards, and they'll actually give restaurants like glasses that say Coca-Cola. It's because it seeps into their mind, and when they think of a soft drink, they're not going to say, I want a soda like they do, or a pop up north. I want a Coke. And it's like, it's that constant bombardment, whether it be really hard pressed by my shit, or if it's, hey, buy my shit.
But, you know, it used to be that for every year you didn't advertise, it would take 7 years for you to rebuild the reputation that you lost.
Absolutely. I saw that with the old world when I worked in business-to-business sales. There were a couple of big trade shows that they may cost $100,000 or $200,000 or $300,000 to do a major exhibit at this show. But the lost opportunity and reputation cost for missing it is greater than just what you're spending to be there. Now, obviously, for creatives, that's a little different. But, you know, once you establish a pattern of being at an event, people will start to ask, hey, what's wrong? Why weren't you here?
Yeah.
Right. Do you not have any new stuff out? Yeah. Do I not need to bother? Or, you know, they just forget about you.
And I think, you know, on the flip side of that, it's, my friend Brandon Padgett, who's in Sketch Charlotte, and he goes to Charlotte Comic Con, and he was promoting this thing 3 months out saying, hey, listen, I've got 12 slots left
for commissions.
Yeah. He walked in there with his sales pretty much done.
Right.
And as a side effect, he didn't have to sit there and draw the whole time, because he was too busy exchanging money and seeing those fans that came to pick up the art. And it's like he had pre-sales. And it's like, you can do this, folks. It's like, you can do it with books.
You don't have to kill yourself to do it.
Yeah.
If all you do is share the Facebook post that the event puts up once a week, that's still huge, because you're getting it out to your fans and your Facebook friends and your social media contacts, and you're building that, making it part of a collective unconsciousness, and that is a huge help.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking about getting it into people's heads. We did a convention last year, and I had a lot of Falstaff authors there, and we had just done a run of neat t-shirts. Our slogan is, we're the misfit toys of fiction. So one of my editors designed a t-shirt with the King of the Misfit Toys from the old Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer cartoon, and another t-shirt with misfit toys in children's blocks. And we had those as t-shirts. So we had people all around this convention who were my authors and my editors wearing Falstaff shirts. people would come through the dealer hall and say, is this a Falstaff event? Yeah. And the answer was yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah. And now, like, for somebody like myself, I'm not necessarily trying to sell something. I'm trying to sell tickets, but that's something I want you to do online. But, you know, I mean, half of it is you're giving out stuff. Mm-hmm. So whether it be us giving out free movie posters or having the cool fiber optic hair accessories for a convention that we didn't have a table at. I had people coming up and saying, neat. You're from Charlotte Geeks, right? Do you still have any of those? I mean, I was like, whatever. Or, you know, give
candy.
Me candy. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about Congregate. We Congregate is a great con. If you've never been, you should definitely need to go.
It's in High Point, mid-July every year.
Yep. But they have about, what, 5 or 6 fan tables?
Very few.
It's very few. Yeah.
Very few. And we never get one because I'm always late to the table.
Yeah.
And this year, because people are grandfathered in.
Yeah.
So right. You'd have to go kill another event. And yeah. That's frowned upon. I'm not saying it's completely out of the question.
You know,
I'm saying
dodo it's birds are extinct, upon. I think. I can work on that. Oh, but,
nice. Yeah. And this year at Congregate, we weren't going to do a room party because we were guests and we had a bunch of late night programming.
Evidently, we are banned from daytime programming. So
why?
We were put on nighttime programming, which is fine. But then John had your roast.
Right.
Buy my shit.
Yes.
So we weren't able to host a nighttime party. But Wanda came over and we took our postcards and candy and buttons and all sorts of stuff and put them in little goodie bags and carried them around in a big, huge Geek Gala bag. And
just passed them
yeah,
out.
We passed them out at panels. And I literally had people coming from one panel to another panel because they wanted more candy, and we had a full room. It was great.
That's fantastic.
And yeah. but it's all about being creative. Mm-hmm. If you can't talk to people, get a gimmick.
Yeah,
get a reason.
You don't have to. All right, look, this is going to sound awfully disingenuous and all of that. Come up with like 3 or 4 canned lines. I mean, seriously, if you aren't someone who's spontaneous and thinks on your feet or you're shy, just come up with 3 or 4 things. You know, Starnslord was talking about how he was talking to people in the aisles at Comic-Con. Well, he's just talking about what the cool shirt they're wearing is. I talked in the unboxing video, which you should all go back and watch, about the fact that now that I've seen My Hero Academia, I recognize a lot more costumes. So talking to somebody about their costume, you're at this event, you're obviously some flavor of geek, and all flavors of geekdom are represented here. So, you know, just find some piece of common ground. It's something I talk about in blog posts and things. It's profiling your customers.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was just going to go to that. Absolutely.
I will just say real quick, too. And if you don't know the costume, like if it's anime, people love to share if you ask them.
Trust me, anime geeks, they love to tell you about their favorite anime.
It's a great conversation starter, and it's not a yes or no question. It's, what character is that? Tell me about that. What's that from?
But make sure you got some time.
Yeah, because they'll tell you the entire...
That's true.
Well, and you definitely have to profile both ways. So... Yeah. You know, there were certain people, Stuart Jaffe, love him to death. Matt was dressed up on Sunday. And so he actually helped out with the costume contest at Charlotte Comic Con. He was gone for several hours. And there's certain people that after so many years at the con, you recognize. And they're people that they're tire kickers. They come up and they talk and they take all the free stuff you have on your table. And they will tell you all the reasons why they can't come to your event, even though you haven't actually invited them yet. Or buy your book, even though you haven't actually asked them to buy it yet.
Or they'll leave a relative that's wheelchair-bound in front of you.
Well, see, take my story away from me. Sorry.
Oh, is this the snake-kissing lady?
I stole your story.
No, there's a guy that comes, and he's very distinctive. And he brings his mom and his grandmother. And I swear both of those ladies are in their hundreds. And one wheelchairs the other one around.
Oh, my goodness.
It is.
And he left them in front of my table, which, you know, first they took every single free thing I had, including little dinosaur, little little 2 cent dinosaur plastic thingies, like little toys, like they're the size of little army men that I have for the kids,
right?
And tattoos and stuff. And she took like 5, and he literally left them there for like, I don't know, 45 minutes. And I couldn't talk to anybody else because they were in the middle. They were,
they're not big draws either.
They were not big draws. They didn't have costumes on that were attractive or anything like that. And it just really, and you know, I try to be the kindest person I can at a con. I can be bitchy other places, but I try to be the nicest person that you can, because you want to be that smiling face so that people want to come and talk to you.
Absolutely.
And I was at my end, but literally Matt was ready to wheel them away, because the one could not, she had hurt her arm that year or something, so she could not wheel the other one away, and they were stuck at my table while he's going around talking to everybody. And it's like, I'm not a babysitting service. So, but you have to kind of know. And it's like, so when he came up this year, I had Stuart talk to me, so I did not engage.
You know, it's so funny. I shared a table on Saturday with Jordan Green, who's another author. And one of the reasons we specifically asked to share a table was so that I could give him some pointers on working a table. And we were talking, I was talking about profiling your audience. Well, women buy more books than men. So women are a better target audience, even if your books are more guy-centric, explosions and dick jokes and crap like that. Look, chicks like dick jokes too.
We like explosions too.
Yes.
I like explode. We like exploding dicks.
This is definitely an R-rated podcast.
I read that in the bathroom about you.
And now you're wondering why these two get the 10 p.m. program.
No, you're not.
No, you're really not.
No wonder
about 512. You know that crap by now. But I was talking to him, and it was like, yeah, so you profile the people as they're walking by. You watch how they're walking. If they're walking fast and just giving everything a cursory glance, you don't waste your oxygen. I don't pitch very hard to cosplayers. Not that I don't love cosplayers, but they don't have pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And they frequently don't have purses. So they can't carry anything. If a cosplayer comes by, I had this happen at SuperCon. A cosplayer came by in a fantastic Mandalorian costume, and she was looking at everything and really paying attention. And she said, I'll be back tomorrow when I'm not in costume to shop. And I said, well, let me know if you got any questions. And we talked, and she did come back the next day when she's not in costume. But
cool.
Nobody who's walking around in a giant fursuit with no pockets and really no fingers is going to buy anything, because they can't carry it. You don't want to ever be rude to people, but pick your battles. Find where you're going to invest your time and energy, because cons are long and they're not easy. This one I'm doing this weekend, by the time you hear this, it'll be in the past. It's Soda City Comic Con in Columbia. It's a great little event. Little, it's probably 7,000 or 8,000 people by now. Mike Coulter from Marvel's Luke Cage is going to be their big media guest.
Wow.
Yeah, he grew up down there, so they got him. But I'm leaving my house at 7 o'clock in the morning to load in my table at 8:30 to do the con until 6 o'clock, and then go back by 10 a.m. the next morning. So that's a long day. Mm-hmm. You've got to conserve your energy and get it where you can get it.
Well, and the finances are definitely consideration, because if you can't sell enough to cover the cost of your table, your travel, your food, your hotel,
the goods that you're selling.
Yeah.
And the God's honest truth is you usually won't. Most conventions that involve a hotel stay are money-losing propositions, especially for our authors. It's part of your marketing budget. You want to sell as much as possible to offset as much as possible. But if you're going into doing a lot of conventions, and especially the fandom cons, which usually have smaller attendance and they're in a hotel, so they're going to be a little more expensive and your food is pricier, you're almost always going to lose money on those. But there are ways to mitigate it. You split rooms with people. I mean, we're all grown-ass human beings, but no, we share a lot of rooms with a lot of people.
Yeah, that's why Matt doesn't travel with me. I mean, not to be unkind, but a lot of times I go to a convention and they're like, where's Matt? And I'm like, look, if Matt's in the room with me, then it's the two of us paying for one room.
Yep.
If Carol and I are going to the con together, then she doesn't have to pay for a whole room by herself. I don't have to pay for a whole room by myself. And other than having her having to listen to me sing camp songs and me have to listen to her, you know, whine about the fact that her shoes hurt. You know, it's a pretty good deal. And occasionally make sure she doesn't drink too much, you know. But
well, I was going to say, it's always good to have a friend hold your back.
You're about as terrible as that as I was as your wing woman.
I know. I'm more about the, okay, Carol, now you've had too much, but I'm not good at the
give me the lighter, Carol. Yeah,
we're in the same boat. Susie doesn't travel with me to hardly any cons, but I have shared a whole lot of hotel rooms with Darren Kennedy.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, but then you get used to it, and we have a pretty good system. We both wake up early, so we go and have breakfast together.
Darren is the room ninja. He's the best con roommate ever. I've literally been stone sober when I went to bed and never heard him get up in the morning. Jeez. I'll wake up and be like, the room's empty. There was a Darren here when I went to sleep. His suitcase is still here. But seriously, he'll get up. He can get up, shower, and leave the room without me knowing it. And I'm not that heavy a sleeper. He's just a ninja.
Yeah. But, you know, so you do have to think about that when you're thinking about a con. For me, $150 to go to Soda City Comic Con plus an overnight stay is not necessarily worth it for the Geek Gala right now. Now, in the future, it might be. But to go to Charlotte Comic Con, where they're kind enough, since we're a charity event, to comp us the table, and we drive there and drive back, then that's a good profile for me. But it's the same thing.
Absolutely.
When I have people come up to the table, I have a choice. Do I talk to them about Muggles Market, which is a free family-friendly event? Or do I talk to them about Geek Gala, which is a PG-13 event serving alcohol and corsets? You know, and that's a conversation. And I always liken it to my dad sold World Book Encyclopedias. And the way that they designed the articles was that the first sentence was always at a third grade level. And then the second paragraph would be a little bit more of like a junior high. And then it goes into the more high school, college, and technical stuff. So as you get more into depth into the article, it becomes a more of a deep dive. But if you're just a child looking up what is a deer, it'll say a deer is a mammal. Instead of starting off like Encyclopedia Britannica did with all the Latinese and all this kind of stuff, that would be more at the end.
This explains why I've never made it past the second paragraph in any World Book Encyclopedia.
Because you got your answer, right?
And I'm a product of the South Carolina public education system.
But so that's sometimes the way you have to pitch it. And we've had some people, we had a friend of mine come and sit the table with me a little bit this weekend, and he was very eager to help me out. And he was, but he was trying too hard with the wrong people. And so we just like you with Jordan, as somebody who's not selling a product, I'm selling an event. It's a little bit different.
A little bit, yeah.
And so you have to kind of say, and it's like, okay, here's the harried mother. That's when I say, can your child have a free tattoo and a lollipop? You know, because that way she's like, oh, I'm giving them something after having to say no to them at every other table because I don't have enough money. There's free stuff that I can give them. Would you like a free pop socket for your phone? Because I still have 500 of them left. although I actually
those off overpasses on our way to cons.
We're actually almost out of them because now people know what they people actually know what they are. Now we're actually almost out, but but it's free stuff. Would you like a free movie poster? Whatever. And you start off with that. And if they're going for the free, then you talk to them about the Muggles Market. And then when the kids are turning around and saying, Mom, can I go? Dad, can I go? And they go, oh, this is a little cool. And then I pull out the Geek Gala one and say, and this is for the grown folk. And they're like, now that's what I'm talking about. Because you said alcohol, I'm in, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But you have to pitch it differently. Oh, yeah. And, you know, if you see somebody glaze over, stop the pitch.
Yep.
Yeah. So many people will keep selling. They sell themselves into a no.
Yeah.
I watched this in my old job. I had a guy who worked for me as a salesperson who talked himself out of more orders than anyone I'd ever seen. Oh. And he talked the customer into buying less expensive stuff. I'm like, bro, that's the opposite of what I pay you to do. you want fries with that. You know?
Yeah.
And I managed to do it several times at Raleigh SuperCon, was turn a $15 sale into a $45 sale by selling the next book in the series. And you've got to think about things like that when you're, well, Raleigh SuperCon was not a cheap event. It was a publisher booth. They gave us a great discount, but a publisher booth was almost $600 and three nights in a hotel. Yeah. That ain't cheap.
No.
I needed to move some books to make that back, and we did. That was a great event. I'm looking forward to going back next year. But yeah, we were working.
Mm-hmm. Carol, as somebody who has programmed and run vendor rooms, mm-hmm. and also the Carolina Renaissance Festival, where you had to pick who was at those booths. I mean, it makes your event as well. If you don't have good vendors, that hurts you just like it hurts any other event.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you would look at?
You would always have to look at, we're kind of falling into that, the problem with Muggles Market is the and jewelry category, because at the Renaissance Festival, everybody made something and jewelry.
Yeah.
And you have to tell people, look, I can't have 100 jewelers on here because nobody will sell.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you're just glutting the market. So you have to be very careful about what type of craft you choose or what type of vendor you're accepting. And you have to actually look at their items and say, is this something that people, is this something they can make money on? Because you never want a vendor to come in and lose their shirt.
Right.
You really don't. So I've had really just beautiful, wonderful artists apply to the Renaissance Festival. And I've looked at them and very truthfully said, your stuff is way too expensive. And, particularly in the early days of the Carolina show where we didn't have the 100,000 plus crowd, it's like, you're not going to sell. Your lowest priced item is $1,500. That's not going to sell. You're not going to sell. You might
turkey
sell
leg or 150.
Yeah, you might sell one or two, but that's not going to cover your living
season.
Expenses
yeah.
for this season. So you have to coach, particularly new vendors. Yes, it's all hands crafted stuff, and yes, your art is worth the price tag you want it, but you want smaller stuff too, so you actually don't lose your shirt. And sometimes you have to actually coach the vendors and say,
mm-hmm. Now we have somebody that sells chess sets at the Muggles Market, but she also she takes old comic books and makes little pop top, coasters and different little things like that.
Yeah.
So she has her $5, $10, and $25 items. And then she has her $100 chess sets.
Right.
Yeah.
So you don't want your vendor to come in and just, particularly if it's a beautiful, they make beautiful stuff, you don't want them to come in and just do horribly.
Stuart was actually talking about the fact that, like, a lot of times if he can get somebody to read the first one, then all of a sudden he'll start seeing the hits on the Amazon where somebody will buy the next six or the next seven. So sometimes for somebody who's a newer author, ebooks may be an option. Get them to start the first one. And then if they like it, they're going to want to invest in the hardcover or the paperback because they're going to want to have it on their shelves.
And then also, and this is a simple thing that I'm finding a lot of vendors have trouble with, always have a card, because you're always going to have those people that will do a run through of the dealer's room, but won't buy then, they'll buy later. And I'm kind of one of those people, particularly if with Con Carolina's, I couldn't get to the vendor room and buy shit.
Yeah. Plus you don't want to carry it.
Yeah. It was, I had to just do a run through, grab cards for people that I wanted to buy stuff and say, where's your Etsy shop? Where's your, can I buy online? Stuff like that.
And here's a hint. If you're the person buying it as well as the person selling it, encourage the person who has a smartphone sitting right in their hand to take the book that they want to buy from you and the card and take a picture of it. Because a lot of times I find cards in our con kit after the fact.
And I can't remember what I wanted to buy.
I can't remember what it was that we were talking about, what we wanted to buy, or any of that stuff.
Got four of them right here. Yeah.
Yeah. But something as simple as that. And, I've known vendors that have made really ingenious cards that were very standout. I mean, your woodworkers, they'll make little wood chips with their website on it. And that's, you know, at least that's memorable.
Yeah.
I know Vistaprint is very cheap and it's easy to get thousands and thousands of cards, but make your card a little bit memorable just so people remember what you sell.
I've taken to writing my booth number on the back of cards.
Yeah.
When they say, well, maybe I'll come back. I'm like, here's
your
my
card,
booth number.
Here's the booth number.
Find the fat guy with the purple hair.
Yeah, if you're going to do a one-sided card, make sure that the back side is not glossy so you can write
on it.
You
can write on it. Or they can write on it.
Yeah, and if you're going to do a two-sided card, still consider leaving a little blank space on it. Now, I used to have binary code that said Charlotte Geeks on the back of our card, which was really cute, but I did it in a light gray. So you could write on it and still read it because, come on. So, anyway.
Very good.
Yeah, so...
And also, if you're running a convention, it's really easy to promote your media guests because those are the big names. But it also really helps your vendors if you go through and start promoting the actual vendors that are in your dealer's room, which is one of the reasons, you know, with the Geek Gala and the Muggles Market, we'll highlight different vendors every week.
Yeah. And well, it's not rocket science.
No. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
It's five questions. You don't even, you know, even if you don't do the five questions, as long as you're saying this person is going to be in our dealer's room, here's their website, look at their cool stuff. It gets people primed to go, hey, I'm going to save up $50 because I saw that thing on their website and I really want to buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any of that from the, and that's going to increase that vendor's likelihood of sharing your social media stuff.
Yeah.
So it all builds on each other.
And here's my social media marketing thing. If you are going to an event like the Muggles Market and the Geek Gala, because that's the one that we run. So I'm going to talk about that. We have those events. Don't set up your own event about our event for your event.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Here's how I get. It gets you an event listing on your page so people know where you're going to be next. There's other ways to do that. You can change your cover photo. You can pin post. You can do all sorts of stuff. You can even go to the host of the event and ask them to make you a co-host of the event if you're going to be a vendor on there so that your stuff will show up. But if you start posting all the stuff you're bringing to your event just to your fans, then all you're selling to is your known fans.
Right.
You're not expanding your base. You're just overworking the one you've already got. If you share all the items that you're going to be selling to the event hosts, event page on Facebook or wherever it is, then all of those people are going to see your stuff. And if you continue to share, hey, here's some stuff I just posted to this event, your fan base will find you. But you know,
don't
divide and conquer. Yeah. Let's try to, you know, do it all together. It's really funny whenever I go to post something on Muggles Market and I start to type share to the event Muggles Market and four other ones come up with all sorts of weird names like Charlotte Geeks Gala, which is not the what we call it, or the Charlotte Geeks Muggles Market or the Geek Gala Muggle Market or whatever. And it's like, no, that's not
the ones that kill me is where they basically clone it and it's the same artwork. And it's like, okay, first of all, you don't own that artwork.
Yeah.
It's like, I really could shut you down. It's
like, So, you know, and we appreciate that you're promoting the event, but you're not helping yourself as much as you think
you're
preaching
to the choir, basically.
Yeah,
your fans
already know
that.
If they're already on your page, they already know you. You're trying to reach new fans,
right? What we as showrunners or con runners want is to get you more fans. Yeah. So
you know, and we also want to get them fans of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you come and be there. So, and you know, stupidest thing is if somebody gives you a free marketing opportunity, take it.
Right. There are way too many people who just don't engage, who won't take the opportunities that are out there. And not only are you losing that opportunity, but you're losing the invitation to the next opportunity.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. All of us event organizers are in groups with other event organizers.
Yeah.
And we talk to each other, just like all the artists are in, all authors are in groups with other authors. And I'm in some of those groups and I see all the time, what does somebody think about this event? What does somebody think about that event? And just as much as they'll badmouth a bad event that was badly promoted and badly coordinated, if we have problems with certain vendors or certain authors, and people will be like, hey, what did you find out with this one? Oh, well, they didn't pay their bill, or they showed up 2 hours late after, you know, or they showed up at opening time, setting up their booth, taking apart tables and blocking hallways, not mentioning any names. You know, people right across from us at Charlotte Comic Con. But you know, I mean, like, it starts to be a reputation. And if you are not popular enough to override that, then we're going to stop including you.
This was something I talked about at a Comic Con earlier in the year. I had a table next to a guy who does the exhibit hall layout for a big Comic Con. Well, when people started breaking down 90 minutes before the end of the show on Sunday, I looked over and said, you're paying attention to all this. He said, oh, yeah. Because you're applying to be accepted to get to sell stuff. So,
and if you're whining and complaining that you're not selling anything, and I see you sitting behind your work, not talking to people who come up and look at your work, and then you're leaving a half an hour early on the first day and not showing up on the second day. Yeah. I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're not selling anything at an event where everybody else is selling like gangbusters, the problem's probably not with the con.
No.
Yeah.
It's just like that old saying, if you meet an asshole first thing in the morning, you met an asshole. If everybody you meet all day is an asshole, then you're the asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And also, it's like, especially Charlotte Comic Con, like the people that were at the door the whole weekend, those two people, they were there, you know, checking badges and stuff, you know, bracelets and stuff. But it's like the 15 minutes before the con ended, they were walking and buying a shitload of stuff.
Right.
And if you were gone, you missed it. And there were quite a few people, like I do, I'll look for a bargain because it's like, there'll be a trade paperback for $5 that, guess what? It's out of print and it's worth $60. You know, if you wanted to resell it. I actually read comics, crazy, but
oh my God.
But there are bargains to be had, right? And it's like, John, I'm sure, like, sometimes you don't want to take home 300 pounds of books, and you sell very briskly, but you might have a deal here or there, or like a combo for a series.
There's
or something like that.
Deals available if people will ask. I mean, our biggest sale at South Carolina Comic Con came with 20 minutes left in the entire convention. A group of college students came by, and between my table and the guys next to me, they bought $200 worth of books. That's a big chunk in one throw at a Comic-Con, buying $200 worth of paperbacks.
Right.
You got to be in it to win it.
Yeah.
That's right.
So if I had left half an hour early, I would have missed that sale. Yeah.
And sometimes, too, you have to just be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Mm-hmm. So if you see the con is struggling, then do what you can to help it if you've already committed to be there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, whether or not you come back, that's your decision. But at least while you're there, do your best to help make that the best con. And honestly, if you're at a bad con, you're only at a bad con if you decide it. One of the worst cons we were at last year, I walked out with two really awesome relationships with people that did great stuff at my event because I saw them working it, even though the con was poorly attended. And they were big draws to our event because I had downtime. There was nobody to talk to. Right. So I talked to the people around me and found out more about them. So, you know, you never know when that could lead to something else. It's what you make out of it. All right. I think we preached enough today.
Yeah.
I think the choir is good.
Yeah. I think the choir is good. Thank you, John.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks for letting me put my two bits in there, or five or 25. So.
Two bits, 4 bits, 6 bits, a dollar.
Carol, thank you.
You're welcome.
As the person kind of on there. And Carol, Tiffany talked. Did you notice that?
I think it's way fucking awkward that you guys called me out this many times because I did create my own Facebook event. You know, I did break down my table early. I did show up late and set it up late. Shit. I don't talk to people.
What were you selling? Henry Cavill memorabilia.
She wouldn't sell that.
I can't think of anything good to pretend.
It was supposed to be Henry Cavill memorabilia, but she wouldn't sell any of it. It's like, no, you can't have that. No, yeah. No.
She
that's
was
not
selling
for sale.
Bootleg butt plugs based on John's book.
Yeah. So
a little bit unauthorized.
Slightly used.
Everybody say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
You've been listening to Guardians of the Geekery. Find us on the web at guardiansofthegeekery.com and everywhere fine podcasts are found. Support the Charlotte Geeks at patreon.com/charlottegeeks. Tune in next time for another exciting adventure on Guardians of the Geekery.